But what you're seeing this year is you're already seeing a spike right now. And of course, if it continues to increase from here, more volatility in the markets is going to be something investors have to manage.
Welcome to Views from the Desk, a special edition of the BMO ETFs podcast. In these timely episodes, we provide the latest investment news and commentary on the markets, the economy, and investing. Brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
What's behind gold's record-high rally? In today's episode, portfolio managers Chris Heeks, Om Karmalkar, and your host Mackenzie Box identify a few forces supportive of bullion in the short and longer term. They also discuss three ways to manage market volatility in U.S. dollar-denominated ETFs. Before we hear from the team, please consider subscribing to Views from the Desk on your preferred podcast platform. And for many more ETF insights and resources, visit BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Hello and welcome back to our BMO ETF's Weekly Insights podcast with our ETF portfolio management team. I'm today's host, Mackenzie Box, in product at BMO Global Asset Management. Today I'm joined by Chris Heeks and Om Karmalkar, who are both portfolio managers on our ETF desk. So a special thank you to both Chris and Om for joining me today. Now let's get into it. Chris, we'll put you in the hot seat first. Something that's very topical right now, gold continues to push higher and is trading around $2,280 US dollar per ounce and now up approximately 10% to start the year. What is fueling this rally and how is gold positioned for the short and long term?
For sure. Thanks, Mackenzie. So definitely gold is up to, you know, a very strong start to the year, as you mentioned. There's a few catalysts being talked about in the press. One is the prospect of lower rates, and we've been talking about that fueling equities. Lower interest rates fuels positivity for gold because it reduces the carry cost of holding that gold. And then on the other hand, you know, we also talk about higher for longer rates, you know, at the same time. And really higher for longer on the rate side, you know, fuels into inflation, and gold can be seen as an inflation hedge. So kind of on both sides of it, you could make an argument, lower rates as well as higher for longer rates. I think geopolitical risks are certainly something that's on the mind of investors. And, you know, hate to start the call talking about left tail type events, but there are obviously, you know, a number of geopolitical risks in the world right now. To that point, you know, you hear about Mark Zuckerberg, tech executives building bunkers. You know, I think he's building a $500 million bunker in Hawaii. We're not going to do that. But, you know, one thing we can do to help insulate portfolios against event risk is gold. And gold is you know, an exposure that can perform well in very difficult times. So, you know, we did recently launch the BMO Gold Bullion ETF, ticker ZED. GLD. And, you know, this could provide exposure to the gold price itself. Now, I think the longer term reasons, you know, I think are more interesting to me from a portfolio construction point of view. You know, I mentioned it can hedge against inflation. It can also hedge against risk off markets and equities. So when equities tends to sell off, gold can do well. It's actually the same with fixed income too. When fixed income volatility picks up, gold can also do well. We've seen more fixed income volatility as of the last couple of years. You look at central bank balance sheets, they are expanding, you know, in Canada and the US. The US, so it's been notable, the debt's at about 120% of GDP. You know, it's approximately quadrupled in the last 20 years. So again, gold as a store of value can perform well in that environment. And, you know, as a result, you see there's a low correlation, you know, of gold versus equities and gold versus bonds. And, you know, as an investor, obviously, low correlation means diversification benefit. So, you know, as a result, including a little bit of gold in your portfolio, and it doesn't necessarily take a huge position, but let's say even 5% within the scope of a balanced allocation, You know, that can be both additive to returns and reduce risk. So, you know, there's a lot of good long-term reasons to have a small allocation of gold in your portfolio. Again, it's been somewhat underappreciated for a few years. It's getting appreciated now, but there's a very good long-term case. And we often see this with gold that the, you know, gold is a return generating asset. It returns about 6% a year over the last 75 years. But sometimes those appreciations, you know, it stays flat for a while, then it appreciates. So it's not always as linear, maybe as some other assets, but certainly can add value to a portfolio as part of a long-term allocation.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Parked, but not idle. Money market and ultra short-term bond ETFs offer a place to park cash and preserve capital while remaining highly liquid. And there are no lockup periods, unlike GICs, which means they can be sold at any time without penalty. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for tickers ZUCM, ZMMK, ZST, and ZUS.
Next, we're going to pass it over to you. The low volatility factor has lagged year to date. What is the outlook for this going forward?
So year to date, the strategy has lagged versus the broad market. On absolute terms, you know, it is positive. However, if you compare it versus S&P 500 or the S&P TSX index, it has lagged on a year to date. But before I kind of, you know, go into what are some of the reasons for the lag and, you know, what our views are going forward, I just wanted to take a step back and explain what we mean by low volatility and what the strategy truly does. So this concept of low volatility isn't new. It is an equity-based strategy that tries to invest in all things being equal, invest in less risky stocks versus higher risk stocks. So for example, this strategy tends to invest in grocery companies such as Sobeys instead of a junior miner in Canada, you know, holdings such as Loblaws, Dollarama, and not holding more volatile companies such as Shopify. So the number one goal of low volatility strategy it's seeking to accomplish is less drawdown. This puts investors in a better position to have good returns going forward. So this concept of winning by not losing. So every dollar you save during a market drawdown is an extra dollar you have to participate when markets start to recover. That being said, year to date, we have seen, and it's just not a year to date story, we've seen it in 2023 as well, you know, where a lot of investors started moving back into the growth side of things, especially in the semiconductor space, you know, driven by the AI technology fueled rallies, where we saw companies such as Nvidia, Micron, AMD rally more than 100% at times. And given that this strategy tends to not invest in these volatile companies, we did see a bit of a lag versus the broad market. That being said, you know, looking forward, we are constructive on low vol equities. Given that, you know, we continue to see bouts of volatility in the equity market driven by one evolving monetary policy. So if we just kind of go back at the start of 2024, or end of 2023, markets were pricing in about 5 cuts by the Federal Bank. Fast forward to today, you know, even yesterday, you know, markets are thinking they might not even do 3 cuts this year. So, you know, it's a very, the monetary policy is evolving every time a new data point comes in. So because of that, we have seen volatility in the equity markets. Second, you know, Chris already touched on it, but you know, there is geopolitical tension in the Middle East. We have seen geopolitical tensions in Europe. And if it starts to expand and a lot more players start to come in, we can see, again, a lot more volatility come back to the equity market. That being said, low vol, it is a great strategy to hold for investors concerned about the downside and want to skew away from some of the cyclical sectors that have done well recently. Again, you know, having low vol in a portfolio is a great complementary. It's a pure play approach, which looks very different from the index and translates into diversification for the portfolio. And we know diversification is one free lunch when it comes to investing. That being said, you know, there are strategies that you can use to balance out that defensiveness that you get from low vol and growth exposures that you can get from other ETFs. So one example is, you know, having a barbell approach between low volatility and growth factor. The low volatility will give you defensiveness, and you can get the growth factor from ZNQ, which is the BMO NASDAQ index ETF. By combining ZLU, which is the BMO US low vol ETF, with ZNQ, you can create this barbell structure where when markets are going down, you have that defensiveness from ZLU. When markets are going up, you're able to participate on that upside. And, you know, historically, it has shown to provide better risk-adjusted returns versus the broad market. And similarly, you know, a similar strategy can be implemented in the Canadian market as well, using ZLV, which is the BMO Canadian low volatility ETF, and ZCN, which is the BMO TSX Composite Index ETF. So by combining it, you can get that balance between growth and defensiveness.
Great. Thanks, Om. Chris, we'll send it back to you. Om kind of alluded to this, but we are seeing some signs of risk to come. One, we're seeing the VIX show signs of higher volatility projected at the end of the year. And as well, the Financial Times recently noted that corporate borrowers have issued around $600 billion worth of dollar bonds this year so far, which is up about two-fifths year over year and the highest total since the 1990s. So the prospect of a close election has pushed companies to bring forward their plans rather than risk running into potential and more expensive markets later in the year. So with that, knowing those two risks, what are some of the ways investors can start to position themselves to hedge against these risks?
Yeah, for sure. And the election in the U.S. certainly shaping up to be a very close one. Pretty much a dead heat right now in polling between Biden and Trump. If you look at, as you mentioned, the volatility, you know, one thing option markets can provide is a lot of information. So if you look at volatility right around October, you know, it naturally is more, it's higher than it is right now. There's a premium to that volatility that recognizes the risk that's going to be in the market around the election. You know, but what's really interesting, if you look at that versus prior cycles, we're actually, you know, quite a bit ahead of pace at this point in the year versus prior cycles. And, you know, what you tend to see is that volatility tends to start spiking in July, August, September, as it gets closer into that election. But what you're seeing this year is you're already seeing a spike right now. And of course, if it continues to increase from here, more volatility in the markets is going to be something investors have to manage. So there's election, and maybe on another call, we'll get a little deeper into the election, Trump versus Biden. You know, there's certainly impacts both ways there. But we talked about higher for longer rates. That certainly is an issue for equity markets, geopolitics as well. So not to rehash all the risks, but there are reasons to look at the market and say, how can we manage those risks? What are some extra tools? So, there's three tools I wanted to highlight here, one of which I already did. So let's just start with the gold. And again, and not to reiterate, but the gold is an additive asset to, you know, a typical equity fixed income portfolio. So gold is a way to manage volatility. Again, when equity markets are down, when equity markets are correcting, you often see gold holding value or increasing in value. So that's one good tool there. You know, another one is our buffer suite of ETFs. And we just launched one, the BMO US Equity Buffer Hedge to CAD ETF, the April series, ticker ZAPR, ZAPRIL. And, the buffer ETFs, it's an option-based strategy that purchases some downside protection on a one-year basis. So it just launched in April. It's purchasing downside protection. So over the year since inception, it'll insure investors against those first 15% of losses on, in this case, the S&P 500 index. In order to provide that insurance, it sells a call option against the entire portfolio. So that creates an upside cap, which is approximately 10% versus inception. So, you know, looking at the market, obviously we're near all-time highs. The buffer gives, in a sense, an ability to lock in some of those gains, protect on the downside, but still participate, you know, up to 10% on a price basis over the coming year. So that's a very innovative tool to build in protection to your portfolio. And last but not least, the long short series of ETFs that we launched in October. So we have two of those, the BMO Long Short US Equity ETF and the BMO Long Short Canadian Equity ETF. So tickers are ZLSU and ZLSC. These portfolios have, you know, 100% of equities are, you know, a long portfolio invested in stocks that screen well on a multi-factor model. But then it also shorts 50% of its portfolio against stocks that screen poorly. So it's long 100, it's short 50. So the net equity exposure is 50%. So if equities are volatile, you know, having less exposure to equities, that can present a benefit. And in particular, if there is an equity correction, you know, those low quality equities that are held in the short side of the portfolio, you know, they will tend to be under significant pressure. And so nice thing that a long short strategy gives you is that ability to profit from declining prices. So it can be a particularly effective strategy to manage on the downside. So again, so I would say buffers, long shorts, golds, you know, think about that. If that 60-40 portfolio, you can carve out a 10% allocation for alternatives as satellite investments, but they're going to give you better overall portfolio robustness, you know, aim to protect on the risk side for sure, then these are tools that, you know, investors can look at to help, you know, make portfolios more robust in the context of the volatility.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
What's in your vault? Our new physical gold ETFs allow investors to get direct exposure to physical gold bullion without the hassle of buying and storing the precious metal, and at a low cost. To learn more about investing in gold with BMO ETFs, visit BMOETFs.com and search for the tickers ZGLD, ZGLH, and ZGLD.U.
Om, last question for you. We have quite an extensive lineup of US dollar denominated ETFs. What are some of the benefits of these, if you can just walk through investors, why they would maybe choose a USD ETF over another?
So the .U ETFs that BMO has are US denominated ETFs. So it's not a hedged product. This product actually trades in the US dollar. Basically, the way it works is you use your USD to purchase the ETF. Any dividends or income that you receive will be in US dollars. And if you were to sell the ETF down the road, the proceeds you get from selling the ETF is also in US dollars. And generally speaking, a lot of Canadians have a decent amount of US dollars in their bank accounts. And that's mainly, you know, given that they might need it for the future. They travel there a lot. So having one of the benefits of having these .U ETFs is allowing them to invest without having to do any conversion. So exchange conversion fees, for example, can be very expensive. It can go from as low as 0.3%, so 30 basis points, to as high as 2.5%. So being able to avoid this is a great benefit. Secondly, a lot of Canadians during winter times, you know, like to go down south. They have vacation properties in the US or even have children in universities there. So the ability to match your cash flows from .U ETFs, so any dividends or income you get in US dollars, matching it with your expenses coming from US without having to worry about exchange fees makes it much easier. Lastly, I would just say is there's no US estate tax exposure. So even though the .U ETFs hold US dollars, and it can be in the equity space, it can be in the fixed income space, it's actually considered a Canadian asset because it's trading in Canada. So you don't have to fill out the T1135 tax form, which can be a hassle. And anytime you can save you know, time not filling out a tax form is always better. So there are a lot of great benefits of having these .U ETFs, and great for investors who have US dollars sitting in their savings account that they want to get it invested and, you know, start earning income? Is it, it could be income, could be growth, whatever the case might be. So some of the ETFs on the income side we have is BMO US Dividend Covered, BMO US High Dividend Covered Call ETF, ZWH ticker, or the BMO Covered Call Canadian Bank ETF, ZWB. So for investors who are looking for that steady monthly cash flow in US dollars. For investors who are looking for a more broad exposure, who don't want income right now, prefer to have a bit more growth, there's also BMO S&P 500 Index ETF, ZSP. So again, you know, great benefits for investors looking for that U.S. exposure and that U.S. Income or growth.
Great. Thanks, Om. Those are all the questions that we have for this week. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in and to continue sending in questions and comments each and every week. I also want to thank Chris and Om for providing some great insight. And with that, we'll wish everyone a great day and we'll see you next week.
Thank you to Mackenzie Box, Chris Heeks, and Om Komralkar for joining us on the BMO ETFs podcast. Today, we heard about the BMO Gold Bullion ETF, ticker ZLG, which provides exposure to the price of gold. The precious metal has long been classified as a safe haven asset and is often used as a hedge during periods of crises or economic uncertainty. The team also discussed rising market volatility. The BMO US Equity Buffer Hedge to Canadian Dollar ETF for April, ticker ZAPR, can help you absorb the shock of market disruptions and participate in the upside up to a predetermined level. For more information about the other ETFs discussed in this podcast, check out the episode notes, contact your regional BMO ETF specialist, or visit the ETF Center at BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Views from the Desk has been brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The viewpoints expressed by the portfolio managers represent their assessment of the markets at the time of publication. Those views are subject to change without notice at any time without any kind of notice. The information contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice to any party. Investments should be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to any circumstance. Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be a forward-looking statement. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. Commissions, management fees, and expenses, if any, all may be associated with investments in exchange-traded funds. Please read the ETF facts or prospectus before investing. Exchange-traded funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently and past performance may not be repeated. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management, Inc. and BMO Investments, Inc. operate.